Hello and welcome back to the Florida Hockey Podcast. Justin Bedford, joined by John Bird Wiley this week. So we got a very special episode. For anyone who has listened to our podcast for a while, we had John on an episode about 2 years ago. He was unbelievable, incredibly knowledgeable. Unfortunately, he is a bit of a Ducks fan. So, you know, not everyone's perfect, but we got him on the show this week. So how you doing, buddy?
Good, man. Thanks for having me. Yeah. Today I'm a Panthers fan, so.
Today and every day, buddy.
Exactly.
I want our listeners to know, too, that I asked this guy if he could hop on the show because Noah's in the U.S. on a road trip right now for work. And this guy shows up my room in a Sam Reinhart jersey, but not just any Sam Reinhart jersey, a Sam Reinhart number 23 Panthers jersey. So the complete wrong number. Roll up the dice that he'd be wearing 23 with the Panthers. Absolutely love to see it. And super happy to have you on. And yeah, we got lots to talk about this week because we didn't do a Monday episode. So lots of stuff go on around the league. And then obviously comeback Cats again last night going up against the Washington Capitals. We'll talk about that one. But we're going to start off with one of the, more weird stories from around the league from the last little while, which is the Brendan Lemieux bite on Brady Tkachuk. First of all, your thoughts on the entire incident?
Yeah, obviously this isn't boxing with a similar incident like Mike Tyson did. But, yeah, I never thought I'd see something like that in hockey.
It's been a while. Like, I don't think it's happened in our lifetime.
No, it's probably like the probably more headline suspension we've seen in a while for like on ice discipline, but yeah, weird situation. Obviously, like, tempers probably got the best of both players, more Lemieux than anything.
Yeah, like who bites someone? Like,
yeah, when
who
you
does that?
When you get taken down like that, commonly from what I've seen is that you just accept it.
Yeah,
like, maybe like, throw a couple shots in after when you get up, but
I get, like, you get heated, you know, whatever, right? But, like, I don't think there's any level of, like, anger or frustration I could get to where I'm like, oh, you know what? I, an adult human being, I'm going to bite this other adult human being. It's just, I'm never going to get there.
Yeah, no.
And as much as the bite was, like, interesting, I personally much more enjoyed the aftermath of it, Brady Tkachuk's comments, not holding back. Just absolutely going in on Brendan Lemieux. Then Jonathan Quick coming out defending Brendan Lemieux, saying, nah, I'd rather have him on my team. Which, no. Just from a pure hockey standpoint, no.
No.
And then from a teammate perspective, I'm pretty sure Brady Tkachuk wears the C in Ottawa for a reason. And I know if we had our good friend Jacob Barker on the episode, he'd be laying into Brendan Lemieux for this one. But yeah, just weird. The suspension, he had the in-person hearing, 5-game suspension. Do you think it's the right amount?
Yeah, from what I saw from the video NHL posted, they mainly addressed the first bite, or that's all they basically saw. So at this point, it seems that it's like 5 games like per bite on each hand.
I guess that's the price these days.
I guess there's something like that where there isn't too much precedence on that situation. 5, I guess, is
I'm very certain his father was also suspended once for biting, making them the first father-son duo to both be suspended for biting in the National Hockey League. So a little bit of history there for the Lemieux family.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
As a person from Barrie, I watched Brendan Lemieux with the Colts.
Big fan?
Yeah, he's a guy that, like, gets under the opponent's skin. Definitely sticks up for his teammates. Couple games I went to, got a couple scraps for sticking
not
up
surprising
for guys like Shifley, Mangiapane,
oh,
even
just
too.
Dropping the big names.
But yeah, I don't think.
I'm not sure about Brendan. Like, it's weird. 5 games to me, I think it's probably, again, like you said, like, there's not a ton of, like, precedent around it, especially recently. Like, in terms of, like weird incidents like that, so, like, I'm thinking, like, the Marchand lick, or I think Garnet Hathaway spit in a guy's face once,
yeah,
like, a couple years ago. Like, stuff like that where it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, like super unsanitary, and, like, you just wouldn't do that to anyone, even if you're playing hockey or just walking down the street
either. Yeah, like, you just don't do it. So it's weird in that sense. I was a bit surprised. I was like, when it, you know, was announced there was going to be an in-person hearing, I was like, all right, he's going to get like a good amount of games. When it first happened, though, I like, you're honestly not even sure these days with the Department of Player Safety. Like, we saw Marchand got 3 games for slew footing.
Yeah.
Which, like, good. Like, it's probably, like, it's a dangerous play, right? But, again, P.K. Subban has been slew footing people all season and just been fined $5,000 every time. And I'm guessing, like, part of it is, like, Marchand's a repeat offender, right? And say, look at that. But it's like, if you never punish Subban, then he's never a repeat offender.
Yeah, like, to the point, it's like, how many times can you fine a guy before it actually, like, he gets the understanding of not doing it again, right?
It's just weird. And I think, and I mentioned it on a previous episode, too, like, I think we're seeing a lot more, like, slew foots and stuff like that this year, too, that have just been going on that I've noticed in the games that I've watched. But, yeah, weird. It's 5 games. Yeah, it seems fine.
I was thinking, like, it'd probably be around 6 games, but 5,
yeah,
I guess, is fair enough. Yeah. Obviously, like...
But I'm absolutely here, too, for just the beef between the two players and the teams. And Matthew Tkachuk getting involved, too.
Yeah.
Getting in the mix.
It'll be interesting to see when LA play Ottawa again, but I guess also when they play Calgary, see what Matt does, too.
Yeah, definitely keep an eye on those matchups for sure. And obviously, yeah, same division is Matt Tkachuk. But yeah, I'm here for it. At the end of the day, you know, it's an entertainment business. I just want to be entertained. I just want stuff going on, and that's what we got here. So, yeah, bit of a weird one there. Other than that, though, the Montreal Canadiens letting go of Marc Bergevin, some other news. They've announced Jeff Gorton is the president now there, and now they're looking for a new GM.
Yeah.
With Montreal, it seems like they're trying to make a lot of changes, like not just in the positions, but organizationally, like actually create some big changes and fix some things in the organization, which I think is great.
Yeah.
And great to see them doing that and the owner coming out and saying that. But the GM vacancy, obviously, because it's Montreal, GM has to speak French.
Yeah.
First up, like, do you think that is just like a good internal policy to have?
Honestly, it's a different hockey market compared to others where
of them speak French, right? And I understand, like,
there's a respect there to like the fan base too, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, most people at the game, I haven't been to Montreal game, but Quebec French, you want to hear your team in like the language you're used to, obviously.
Yeah, and it's important, and again, for communicating with those fans, the language thing. The one thing for me is like, don't get someone who's less competent just because they speak French.
Yeah.
Right? Like, don't make any sacrifices there, right? Because at the end of the day, like, I'm guessing, like, if I'm a Habs fan and I spoke French, right, as my primary language, if I have a GM who can put together a team that consistently wins and is very, very good at his job, I really don't care if he's saying it in my language. Some other person, you know, the assistant GM could come in and say it. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, like, it can always come later as, like, a skill set they pick up, right?
Yeah. And it's always interesting, too, when, like, the Habs, like, coaching and GM positions become available, because, like, you know, usually there's a lot of speculation on who gets the job, and it literally just seems like everyone's just throwing every French-Canadian hockey person.
Yeah, I saw Daniel Briere trending.
Daniel Briere, Patrick Waugh. And then one I did want to talk about, though, is Roberto Luongo from the Florida Panthers. Do you think he's a fit in Montreal? Quebec kid. He's done a great job with the Panthers. Was, you know, great goalie in this league. One of the best goalies of all time. Do you think it's a fit?
See, that's like, looking at it, it seems that it could be a good fit, but it also depends like how like they like view how Montreal's gonna do in the future. Like, obviously last year, Stanley Cup final appearance. This year, complete opposite.
Yeah, brutal. They've been brutal to watch.
So yeah, I think he's a smart hockey mind. I think if he was to get the job, he'd do a good job. But I guess it depends on the direction. I guess each candidate views the team going forward.
I'm not even sure. Like, I'm not even sure what to make of the Montreal Canadiens, because, like you said, you know, going to the Stanley Cup final last year, this year they suck. They're terrible to watch. It's a mess. But I think for Roberto Luongo too, like, the reality is like, Roberto Luongo is going to be a GM in the National Hockey League probably sooner rather than later, and it's probably not going to be with the Florida Panthers because Bill Zito's there.
Yeah.
And I think Roberto Luongo's probably earned that promotion. but I'm guessing he probably wants to go to a place where he's going to have a decent amount of control. And with Jeff Gorton there as the president of hockey operations, I'm not sure Robert Luongo would have the autonomy he would want.
Right? Yeah.
Now, but while we're talking about it, and this position isn't vacant, but just throwing this out there, complete hypothetical, absolutely nothing to this, but the Vancouver Canucks have been brutal this year.
Yeah, very brutal.
On, like, just everything terrible. They could be making a GM or a coaching change in the near future. Do the Vancouver Canucks once again take Roberto Luongo from the Florida Panthers?
See, that's more of a fit, honestly, history there. I did
They got the Sedins there, too. He's out of the
yeah,
boys.
I also heard something, I forget who was talking about it, but they're saying, at what point do you, like, prevent players, former players, coming back and taking that role? Like, obviously, Sedins are pretty new to, like, their role with the Canucks right now.
And yeah.
You don't want to, obviously, like, when you have, like, a legend players like those come back to the team, you ideally want to come back knowing that you can do a good job and that it's not, like, your past reputation that got you the job.
Well, because, like, hockey's the only sport like that, like maybe soccer to a lesser extent, but in no other sport is, like, being good at playing the sport a requirement for managing those teams.
Yeah.
The reality is there's not a ton of overlap in the skill sets.
Yeah.
Like, just because you can play hockey really well doesn't mean you can manage a team really well. We've seen that time and time again. Now, there are exceptions. There are some really good GMs that have been players before. But, yeah, I agree. It seems way too common.
But it seems like Luongo's kind of took in those steps to, like, learn the business.
Yeah, you learned it. Like,
it. So he's...
like, you don't just, like, throw him into that position. Like, I don't know if any of our listeners are soccer fans, but you remember when, like, Chelsea appointed, like, Frank Lampard.
Yeah.
Right? Club legend, right? That was, like, his first manager gig, right? And Chelsea sucked under him. They flopped so hard and then won the Champions League once he left. Like, don't just throw him into that. Like, earn your way up from, you know, take the steps. That's what Luongo's done, and that's what the Sedins are doing. And Drury did that with the Rangers, although that's, you know, we'll see how
especially
that
with the state of the team, too. You're throwing a guy in there where it's, like, you don't exactly know the direction the Canucks are going to go.
Yeah.
Obviously, with JT Miller saying that guys have to step up, and
yeah,
he's hinting at the younger guys. Yeah, I think it's, like, kind of like a maturity with them there. They have to, like, elevate their game because you have veterans on a team like JT and other guys that are wanting to win, but I guess it's just, like, not the same mentality amongst the whole team, so it's, like, a divide.
That seems to be there's just a lot of divide in the Canucks organization. And they could use someone, and so, yeah, like, would that be cool to see, like, if Roberto Luongo's going to go, you know, anywhere, and the reality is that, yeah, he's going to leave the Panthers organization at some point, and, you know, as sad as it'll be to see him go, it'll be exciting to see, you know,
what he can do.
Yeah, a team legend, you know, to see what he can do once he has the reins, but I'm not sure if Montreal is maybe the best place for that, but we'll see what they do. I mean, you know, Montreal, they always keep things interesting.
Yeah, so, on the topic of Luongo and possible teams in the future, one that kind of struck my mind is Minnesota Wild with the speculation and the ongoing.
Oh, with Bill Guerin.
So, obviously a bit more of a developed team, kind of having a good season at the moment.
A good season, like, good player. Kirill Kaprizov is unbelievable. Joel Eriksson-Ek is a good two-way center. Like, they have a lot of nice pieces. Their cap situation's weird with the buyouts of Suter and Parise.
Yeah.
Like, they've kind of just penned themselves into this hole where they can't maneuver a ton. So I like that fit because it's like it's a good team, but it's still a bit of a challenge, right?
Yeah.
And so there's some things to work with. That'd be cool to see. I mean, I think there's definitely quite a few teams I would say that can make some changes, you know, to their management or coaching. But we'll move on here. We'll keep it rolling. So this week also, it's December, so we're getting close to the World Juniors. Overall, there just seems to be less of a buzz around the World Juniors this year. And I'm not exactly sure, like, what it is. Like, if, you know, people are just more focused on the NHL stuff. I mean, there's been so much going on. Like, we're not even going to have time to talk about the Evander Kane going through waivers. Like, there's a lot of other stuff that, you know, could be talked about.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if that's why. But World Juniors, teams are, you know, announcing their training camps. So we'll start off with the U.S., where we got two Panthers prospects attending the camp, Maki Samoskevich and Ty Smolanich. from back-to-back draft classes, I believe. So just your thoughts on the players, and do you think they have a good shot to make this U.S. team?
I think they do. Obviously, comparing last year's World, or the last World Juniors, key guys on their team is missing, like Zegras,
Spencer Knight. You know, like, it's, yeah, definitely, I don't think it's as strong of a U.S. team, but it's a very good team regardless. Like, the Michigan alone has some amazing players for them. You know, but there's going to be no Caulfield, there's going to be no Zegers, there's going to be no Knight. Those were kind of, you know, no Cam York. Those were, you know, four big pillars for that team last year. But I think whether or not these guys make the team really depends on how Team USA wants to play at this tournament, because Sam Miskiewicz and Smiljanic, they're, you know, they're kind of unique players. Like Mackey Sam Miskiewicz, like, that's a skilled player, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to play fast, if you want to play with skill, Mackey Sam Miskiewicz should be on your team, right? I think he's a little bit biased here, but I think he's one of the most skilled forwards that the U.S. has.
Yeah, I'd agree with them, right? Yeah.
And you look at what he's done. We talked about him before the season, you know, what were kind of the expectations for Mackey Sam Miskiewicz going into Michigan. And we said, realistically, like, around that, if, you know, we're halfway through the season, like, if we're getting to, like, December, and he's about half a point per game, we would be, you know, fine with that, because you have to understand that Michigan's a deep team. He's not going to see the best opportunities, right? So to see that kind of growth, I think he's exceeded those expectations in the role that he's played for that team. So I think he's a very, very good player, a high-skill player who can, you know, he can shoot the puck, he can make plays. Not saying he's like Trevor Zegras, but similar kind of elements in terms of the skill and creativity.
Yeah, he can pick up some of that workload that Zegras was able to do last World Juniors. Yeah. Obviously, from what I've seen in, like, past World Juniors, there's always a trend where guys that play together in junior kind of...
Yeah, guys that have...
He wanted that pre-established chemistry, and with him being on Michigan, I'm sure he has that with Matthew Beniers, even Luke Hughes on the back end there too.
Yeah.
So that's something, I guess, like, to look in. Obviously, could help elevate his chances, but like you said, he's off to a great start. And,
yeah, and I think we'd all want to see him there. Smiljanic is a bit different because he's a later draft pick. If you look at historically, really at almost any level, like, his offensive numbers never really, like, pop off the page. But what he is, you know, he's a competitive, you know, kind of two-way center who can, you know, do a lot of really good things for you. And that versatility could be beneficial in a tournament like that. Even if he's just your extra forward, he can come in and he can do a lot of different things for you. And he's an older player, so maybe a bit more experience in playing in college, obviously, a good level of competition. So I'm not sure. You know, I don't think either of the players are locks for this team, per se. But I wouldn't say I wouldn't be surprised to see either or both of them on that make that team.
Yeah, no, same here.
But now we'll talk about Canada, because this is the one causing a bit of a stir online with some of their decisions. First of all, let's talk about Justin Sourdough, the Panthers draft pick. No, I know you know you don't listen to the show, but Noah and I, we talk a lot about Justin Sourdough on this show because we both think he is unbelievable, and clearly Hockey Canada agrees with us. Similar to Smiljanic, like, he is a do-it-all player for this team. Like, to me, and I think to some people I've seen, Justin Sourdough is a lock for Team Canada.
Yeah, when I found out I was going to be on the podcast, I looked at some highlight tapes of him last night.
Ooh, what'd you think?
Very impressed. I, like, couldn't believe I didn't notice this guy or heard of him too much, like, going into the draft, but...
Yeah, I'm guessing because, you know, A, he's not, you know, the highest of draft picks, and B, because, you know, Florida's maybe doesn't get the respect it deserves a lot of the time, so you don't hear much about him, but we just love the guy. Like, he can skate, he can shoot. Like, I imagine he makes this team and he's on the first penalty kill unit because that's what he does best. I don't know if you saw it in any of the highlight packs. He does, he changes his handedness for faceoffs a lot of the times. You'll go back, just fun fact. Yeah, we really love Justin Sourdough here on the show. And so I think for us, like, he's got to be a lock, because there's a lot of guys here. Like, I'm looking at the camp roster, right? There's a lot of really, like, high-skill players. Like, Kent Johnson's got a lot of skill. Connor Bedard, now I know he's 2 years away. Does he make it? Maverick Bourque, kind of similar to a guy. Like, Perfetti's a skill player. McTavish, kind of a power forward. There's a lot of skill and a lot of high-end talent. But you need guys that can kind of settle into that checking role. And I don't think anyone on this team does it better than Justin Sardif. Maybe Maverick Bourque.
Yeah, he's kind of, I guess, like kind of like a Swiss Army knife. You know, you can use him for anything. And obviously pretty similar to Smolanic as well in that sense.
He's not the first guy I'm throwing out there if we're down a goal and need a goal, but he's the first guy I'm throwing out there if we're up a goal and need to protect it.
Yeah.
He's that type of guy. So, yeah, I'd love to see him out there making Team Canada, and I think he's got a very, very good shot and should, in my mind, be a lock. But we're going to talk about this Canada defense, because, first of all, there's a couple notable omissions from this Team Canada invite camp. I think Carter Savoie from the University of Denver, who's one of the leading scorers in the NCAA, not invited. And at first I was like, you know what, like, fair enough, I guess. Like, so I was, you know, Hockey Canada, maybe they don't want to take guys that are playing in the NCAA.
Yeah.
But then I look and I see Owen Power, obviously number one overall, Kent Johnson, a high draft pick, and I'm thinking that can't be
the case. Where's the line for that in the sense?
I don't know, and I guess, like, yeah, sure, does he bring some similar elements that other guys do? Yes, but, like, Carter Savoie, I watched him a bunch this year. He scores goals. He's got what I don't think I see a player here with a better shot.
Yeah, I don't. Looking at it right now, I don't see that either. Honestly, like,
throw him out on PP1 and coast to the gold medal.
Let him do his thing.
But at the end of the day, it's not like there's some very good players here as well, so it's hard to knock it too much. But I'm a bit surprised by that, to not even get an invite. But the big one on defense, Brant Clark, one of the top picks in last year's draft, an LA Kings draft pick. From your Barry Colts, so it's great that we got you here for it. Not invited. A lot of people up in arms about it. Thoughts?
I was, like, shocked. Because, honestly, when the World Junior hype starts, like, in September, obviously, when you find out guys that go back to junior or, like, stay in the NHL and who could be on that team, Brant Clark, to me, was a lock on defense with Owen Power.
And I think for most people he was.
Not seeing him even invited is a shock to me.
I don't understand it, because to me, first of all, this is a weak defense for Canada. Like, Canada, even unreal, but this is not a great decor, right? Like, in terms of what we're used to seeing from Canada. Like, there's Owen Power, who didn't play last year just because of, you know, COVID protocols. Right, so he's a lock for the team. But then, like, outside of that, like, there really isn't a guy that stands out as being, like, a head and shoulders top prospect type of defenseman. And so to have a guy like Brant Clark, who, in my mind, I don't think there was a huge gap between him and Owen Power. And, like, if I had to pick, like, I might take Brant Clark at that, like, with that pick. But it's weird, too, because I think... you see reports that they're citing, you know, his defensive play and his play style as reasons for not bringing him. But then you bring, you know, some players that play a similar style, but to a lesser degree are effective. Like Owen Zellweger, who's a Ducks prospect.
Yeah.
And I really like Owen Zellweger. I think he's a terrific player, and he should be here as well. But he is very similar to Brant Clark in terms of what they bring to your team. So to invite one and not the other and then cite play style seems ridiculous to me. To me, it makes no sense why you wouldn't invite Brant Clark.
Yeah, leading scorer for defenseman in the OHL.
1.35
points per game. Only in 17 games, too, this season. So he's played less games than some other guys, like Cormier, who's 39 games, 54 points. Obviously,
that's good.
Though. That's very
good. Lucas Cormier buzzes.
So... I agree with him being there, but other guys, kind of shocked.
Like Damon Hunt, no. Vincent Iorio, fine. Carson Lambos, no. Like, to me, like, yeah. And there's, like, other nodal omissions, too. But, like, to me, like, Canada was already going to have a weak D court, and then they just didn't invite, like, two or three of their probably six best defensemen.
Yeah, Ottman not there.
Ottman not there. Corson Kuhlman's not there, who we talked about on a couple episodes. Just strange. Like, it seems like, and hockey, you know, Canada does this sometimes, it seems like they're overthinking it. But if I had to guess, just based on who's invited, is that they're trying to play more like the U.S. in terms of physicality and grit. They're trying to replicate that, and they're sacrificing some significant skill, I think, to do that. But
yeah, obviously, each World Junior is a new tournament, so basing it off on past like teams' performances is a bit of a gamble.
But it just like.
You'd think that, it, like, think you'd invite guys that are, like, doing well. Obviously, like, you don't have to lead your, like, junior league in points or anything, but you'd ideally think that you invite them to camp, see how they do, compared to other guys that might be a bit more on the defensive and physicality side, and see, like, if you can find the fit. But
yeah, like, no, like, if Brant Clark shows up and he's not good enough and, like, just to, like, to not make the team, fine.
Yeah.
But to not invite him to camp, the guys like that, ridiculous to me.
Because how do you know what you're missing out exactly? Like, you're...
Yeah.
It seems more WHL heavy Canada invite.
Yeah, very dub heavy.
So...
Yeah, my prediction, though, for this Team Canada, like, I'm just looking at the invite list, is that this Team Canada does not win gold. And if they do, it is because of the play of Sebastian Casa in net. That's my prediction for this one, because I am not sold on...
Goaltending's always been...
It's always been the Achilles heel, but based on this lineup, it better not be, because I don't see this... I mean, maybe Connor Bedard shows out and just buzzes and carries his team and becomes the next Connor McDavid. Who knows? But I'm not sold on this invite list, but
at the end... Kind of reminds me of when the... year previous or a couple years previous where they didn't even make it into like even very talent heavy team that year but it's like
where do you go from there? Like I think they're just overthinking this one, to be honest, but we'll see. And we'll get into some Panthers hockey here, but before we do, we got a quick ad read from our good friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game. But with the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get in on the NFL action, and everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings daily fantasy sports contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, there's the ad. We got it out of the way.
If you're not with DraftKings, what are you even doing?
I at this point, like, I don't know. Like, we do these every episode. Like, if you're not signed up, I don't know what to tell you at this point. I mean, the deals are they're ridiculous. But all right, Panthers hockey. Let's get into it. The Panthers still hurt, still banged up a bit. We'll talk about that. But yeah, let's talk about that. What a game last night.
I was watching that game and. I thought I didn't see the comeback happening, but after that Lister Ryan and shorthanded goal, I think that's what got the guys buzzing. Oh, it's
the comeback, Cavs.
And, yeah, from there, took over. Huberto, great night. Very kind of feeling, taking on the workload that Barkov did before he got injured. And he really helped that power play connect, obviously, in the game-winning goal
with
Sam Reinhart, my guy.
Oh, yeah, I want to talk about that one for sure. First, though, I just want to mention, like, right away, though, is that, like, I will say that there are very few things in life that bring me more joy than seeing Ryan Lomberg, the Lamborghini, score a goal at home. Because that guy is electric. Fan, like, crowd loves him. Oh, man. Just gives me chills. Love seeing it. And he balled out yesterday. Goal and an assist. 5 sogs. Yeah, he's a good, like, you know, as much as everyone, you know, loves him for the way he plays, like, he's, like, a legitimately, like, pretty good hockey player.
Yeah, no, really good.
For a depth piece, he's very good for this team. And, yeah, a big part of, you know, why they're, you know, where they are right now. But last night, obviously, game winner, Sam Reinhart has struggled for a bit this season. And you would know that better than anyone. You own Sam Reinhart in our fantasy hockey league that we have. And I want to point out to our listeners that we have a keeper league, so you're allowed to keep 3 players from your team. And John is so far on the Panthers bandwagon that he went so far as to keep Sam Reinhart on his team over Steven Stamkos from our hated Tampa Bay Lightning. Was it the smartest move? Maybe not. But as a Panthers fan, you gotta respect it, gotta love it.
He's been there, though. Like he's been around for the Panthers, obviously just not getting on, like, the point sheet. But, like, when they have been producing, he has been on the ice.
Yeah, like, I know, like, so, you know, there's been, you know, as I'm talking about.
He could have had an assist on that Bennett goal if he didn't tip it. Yeah. To get to Huberto, who passed it back to Ekblad. Just kind of such scenarios like that where, you know, he's moving the puck well for the guys. And
yeah, like, I know, like, I'd seen some people, you know, before the game last night talking about Sam Reinhart's recent play, saying, you know, Sam Reinhart is, you know, probably the most disappointing Panther this season. And it's probably between him and Spencer Knight, realistically, for most disappointing Panther. But, like, they're still, like, producing at a relatively decent rate. Like, Spencer Knight is still young. He's had some good games. He's had some bad games. Sam Reinhart, yeah, he's not. First of all, like, it's, I don't know what you want, like, what you're expecting from Sam Reinhart. He's never been, you know, a point-per-game player, really, in this league, and he's not then this season. 13 points in 22 games, and, you know, guys get hot, they get cold. But realistically, like, yeah, they've been disappointing, sure, because I think the expectations were quite high. But the reality is that they haven't been brutal. They haven't been terrible. We're not talking about, you know, like a Jeff Skinner-type disappointment coming off, you know, the season he had and them signing that contract. Like, if these are your 2 most disappointing players, like, that's how you know you're a good team.
Yeah, exactly.
When your most disappointing player has 13 points in 22 games, including the game winner in the biggest comeback you've had this season, against a team that's had your number, against, you know, Alex Ovechkin, who's been just having his way with the Panthers in their previous 2 matchups. So to score that goal to complete the comeback, not only is it, like, you know, it's great, like, I couldn't believe it. Like, it was unbelievable. Like, you know, you always try to believe, and, you know, they call them the comeback cats for a reason. But 4-1 down, third period, it doesn't happen a lot that you come back and you win that game in regulation, right? Or whatever. And so I think a win like that, like, I think it's exactly what Sam Reinhart needed to score that winner. Maybe, you know, get some confidence, get back on track to what he was doing maybe last year in Buffalo. And then for the team as a whole, because I think recently, I want to know your thoughts on this too, like, it just seems like the team is a bit down.
Yeah, obviously lots of injuries surrounding them. Barkov, captain out.
Yeah.
Huge player for them. Duclair.
Huge player.
You know,
he's been so good this year.
It's the depth pieces that, you know, like, when you're having injuries almost on a weekly basis and your lines are getting switched up completely, you kind of lose that, like, chemistry you had in prior games with, like, the lines you've been running. So, I don't know, having a guy like Sam Reinhart, even, like, Bennett, guys that can play, like, the wing also, like, can come in for the center position too. You got a lot of versatility there, and you can do a lot with how you want to.
Yeah, which is, like, they've been designed for this kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what you do. But I'm curious to know, like, do you think, like, this recent play, and keep in mind, as much as we're like, nah, like, you know, as much as we're saying, you know, this team isn't the same team we saw at the start of the year, right? Like, there are some bad habits maybe creeping in or whatever. Is it, and the reality is like, yeah, they're still second in the division right now with a, you know, a game in hand on Toronto. But do you think, like, is it just injuries? Is that the issue? Like, I'm not exactly sure. Like, it's kind of tough to gauge. Like, it, very clearly, like, something's different from what it was at the start of the season. Something's not right, per se. Do you think it's just injuries, or do you think it's the coaching change? Like, what is it that's affecting this group? And, like, and I think, you know, a lot of fans are noticing this, and the players noticed it, too, I think. I forget who it was said in, like, an interview that, you know, we need to get back to having fun like we were at the start of the season. Like,
yeah, obviously, with when Quenneville got dismissed, that was a huge thing that the team had to kind of work around and get used to, obviously, like, kind of rebuild, like, a winning mentality that they had at the start of the season with them. And then when your captain goes down and he's injured for quite a bit of time now, you kind of rely on him to, like, kind of, like, keep that, like, structure going. And then, obviously, I think last night's game could be a turning point, obviously, in the next couple games. They play Buffalo tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, Sam Reinhart against his former team.
Oh.
And then you got a back-to-back against St. Louis, another team that's been all right this month.
Yeah, St. Louis is a good team. Like, you got back-to-back against St. Louis.
Got Coyotes after that, and then you got challenge against the Avalanche, who are missing McKinnon, but they have been
missing Barkov.
Exactly. I mean,
maybe he's back by then.
Yeah.
That's, you know, a week or so away. Like, yeah, it's weird because, like, yeah, I don't know. So, like, something seems off with the team, but it's like, the question is like, what do you attribute it to? Because then, like, if it's just injuries or whatever, just adapting, like, basically, do you stay the course, or do you, or does there need to be a change of some sort in some way? Like, do you need to make a move if you're Villazito, or if you're the coach, do you need to try different combinations or mix it up? Like, I don't know what it is and whether you want to change or you want to just be patient and wait for guys to get healthy and then see where you're at. But I agree, like, a win like last night's win against the Capitals, that's a win that can kind of get you back on track, right?
Yeah.
Especially for Sam Reinhart getting that big goal. Like, and I think it says a lot, the fact that they came back anyways, too, to be honest. I think it says a lot about the belief that they have in each other. Like, they deserve to win that game. They were all over them, especially in that third period. So, yeah, I think that's definitely something you can build on if you're the coach and the players. And, you know, hopefully they do.
Yeah, you know, it reiterates what they've been able to do at the start of the season, where they were coming back in games, winning them late.
Yeah.
And I guess last night's game kind of shows that they still can do that, even with the injuries they have. I wouldn't say a trade has to happen. I just think from a coach's point, you know, you got to get something going there, get the guys kind of back into that higher gear that they're capable of doing on a consistent basis.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, and again, it's a good test for Brunette, too, as a, you know, a new coach in this league. To see what you can get out of this group, you know, for this next little stretch here, I mean, Buffalo, like, that should be, you know, an all right game. The Blues are, you know, they're a solid team. So we'll see what the next little stretch holds. But yeah, I'm hoping they can build on last night's win. That kind of does it for this episode. That's all we had to talk about. Before we go, though, I do want to ask you one question, since we don't have you on the show that much.
Okay.
John, what is your hottest hockey hot take that you can throw out there right
hottest
now?
Hottest hot
the
take.
The hottest take. I believe you said one before the episode, before we hit record.
Okay, I think I forgot that one.
I want to hear you.
My memory's not exactly the greatest, but one, I had the start of the season, and I was saying this to Leaf fans because, you know, it's always nice to get a kick out of them. I said that Trevor Zegras will be the best American hockey player ever, and that really hit home to a lot of them because, obviously, they think Austin Matthews is that guy. But, you know, the amount of fun that Zegras is
Austin
having.
Matthews, I was looking at the NHL scoring list, like, yesterday. I think Austin Matthews is, like, 40th.
Yeah, I don't see
like,
him out there.
You have to scroll, and I think that's telling.
Exactly.
That's all. The one I wanted to say that you mentioned before this episode, and it's one you can't really prove right or wrong, but, like, you kind of can. You told me before, because we were talking about, you know, different players and stuff, and we're going through different drafts and whatever, and you uttered the words that had it not been for injuries, Sammy Vatanen would have been as good as Erik Karlsson.
Honestly, that could be a bit biased coming from a Ducks fan, but I think that before kind of everything kind of hit the fan for him and getting traded, that, you know, he was looking really promising and he could have seen a 60-point season, but obviously when you get traded to New Jersey at that stage of their rebuild, and
lucky for you, we'll never know
exactly
because that's
he's
just how things work out
in the Swiss.
But yeah, pleasure having you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Had lots of fun.
Yeah, appreciate you filling in. That does it for this one. Thanks to everyone listening. And we'll hopefully be back on Monday with a brand new episode. We'll see you then.